Welcome to the program, God and Country. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In order to understand the times we are living in, I want to direct your attention to a very important but very overlooked prophetic passage in the New Testament. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians about the coming day of the Lord. That is the apocalypse, the time of tribulation spoken of in the final book of the Bible, the Revelation. The apocalypse will come upon the whole world before the glorious return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the saints. The Christian worldview is not that history is cyclical or progressive or perpetual, but that history moves toward a point, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan for this world. The Thessalonican church in the first century was experiencing the historic persecution of the church by the Roman Empire. They assumed that the prophesied apocalypse was upon them. But Paul writes to them in 2 Thessalonians, telling them that no, the apocalypse can't be upon you because two events have not taken place yet. In Paul's answer to the Thessalonians, the church is given two events or signs as to when the apocalypse has come. What are they? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the apocalypse, or the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. This week, I would like to discuss with you the apostasy. Next week, we'll discuss the man of lawlessness called the Antichrist. Every Christian should be thoroughly familiar with the prophecies concerning these two events. And although this is future, these events give to the church spiritual insight in every age. The same spirit of the Antichrist is in every generation, and you and I need to understand the dynamics of this fallen world, otherwise you may be confused or possibly discouraged. The Apostle John writes about the coming Antichrist, but he also says in 1 John chapter 2, even now many Antichrists have appeared. He also writes in chapter 4, this is the spirit of the Antichrist of which you have heard that it's coming, and now it is already in the world. You see, in every generation, people have followed the Antichrist spirit, and this foreshadows the coming day when the world will embrace the Antichrist ideology. And you don't have to be a devil worshiper to be of the spirit of the Antichrist. The world is walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, the usual pattern for this program is to discuss a certain current event in the light of Scripture, but today we are changing up the format. We're going to look at the big picture. For you cannot understand the particular headlines on the Wall Street Journal until you see the big picture. I believe what we're experiencing in our day is quite possibly the apostasy spoken of by the Apostle Paul. This is the first event, as Paul writes, the day of the Lord will not come until the apostasy comes first. What is the apostasy? The Greek word apostasia means a departure. Not a physical departure from a location, but a spiritual moral departure, a falling away, a defection. In classical Greek, it was used to describe a political or military rebellion, a coup. Is this a religious or political apostasy? Well, the word apostasy is used most often today in the religious sense, but there's no reason to think Paul only has a religious apostasy in mind. The context is the political, social rule of the Antichrist. In the book of the Revelation, we see both a religious and political apostasy. Mainstream religions, even popular Christianity, will abandon core teachings. And at the same time, the secular world will forsake any biblical worldview and embrace the Antichrist alternative explanation for this world. Paul says this apostasy is to come. But hasn't the world always been in apostasy, or rather in rebellion to God? Yes, but this is a special apostasy whereby the world embraces the Antichrist and the Antichrist's agenda. Notice that the apostasy in this verse is linked with the man of lawlessness by the conjunction and. And that Greek word kai ties the two events together as related. For the apostasy will come and then the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And for the Antichrist to come into power, the attitudes of the world must change. There must be a strong anti-God, anti-traditional morality, anti-biblical worldview spread throughout all of the nations. The remarkable thing is not that there will come an apostasy, but that for many centuries, the apostasy has been held back to give mankind more time. And this is what Paul writes about in the text. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul writes, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." God is the one who has been restraining wickedness in this world for the sake of building up his church. Yes, God does use secondary causes to help hinder sin. He uses his angels, he uses government, he uses the church. But Paul is speaking of God's hindering, for God is the primary cause. And it is truly remarkable how Christianity spread and grew through all of the Western world over the last two millennia. Given our scriptural understanding of the depravity of man, that there is none who seeks for God, Romans chapter 3, verse 11, the recent declines in Christian influence should not surprise us nearly as much as the miraculous increases in other centuries. The power of the gospel miraculously reversed the paganism of the ancient world. In the Middle Ages and in the Reformation, the people thirsted for Christian truth. Christian morality was honored and written into all the laws of Western nations. Universities were founded upon Christianity, and professors proudly taught the Christian worldview. Thomas Jefferson, who was an outspoken unbeliever in the inspiration of the Bible and the deity of Christ, still said this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus." The 17th century world was not all Christian, but the world respected Christianity. And you see in this the fulfillment of the principle from Leviticus chapter 26. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Or Psalm 66, which says of God, "How awesome are your works! Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you." Because Jesus said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who will be saved," I wonder if there was really an age in which Christianity was in the majority. I see that there are ages when the unsaved followed Christian teaching out of superstition or out of fear or out of necessity. But I believe true Christians were never in the majority. The world's outward conformity to Christianity was a facade used by God to keep the world in check. But now in our day, social leaders in the West and in the East can't work fast enough to erase 1,500 years of Christian influence. What has happened? I believe the answer is given to God's people here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There is a point in history where God will cease to hinder sin and allow the world to go its own way. There is a big theological mistake that is being made in our day by blaming the lostness of the world upon the Christians. You hear it from evangelists, you may read it from Christian authors, that Christians are to blame for the moral decline in America, that the church has failed the 20th century. If the church prayed harder, if we witnessed better, if we got more involved in social issues, we would have Christianized the world. But I'm not convinced that's what the scriptures teach. If you read the record of the early church, it was not very spiritual, very knowledgeable, or very active, yet God gave the world into its hands. I believe the scripture teaches God sometimes allows his people to live in persecution, other times in peace. And there may not be any direct relationship between our spirituality and the world's submission to the authority of Jesus Christ. God is not going to bring apostasy on this world because he has decided that the church has failed. He brings it upon the world because the world fails to heed the message of the gospel. Now, I want you to learn the nature of this apostasy and how it has slowly developed over the last century. Even though the coming of the Lord will suddenly appear, and even though we read that when the world says peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them, there is no reason to believe that the apostasy happens overnight. The powers of darkness have been working on this for decades in preparation for the end times. The apostasy is this world's gradual departure from the biblical worldview and the embracing of the satanic lie. In order for the Antichrist to be accepted by the world, there must be a gradual change in foundational world thinking. Let me give you a brief history lesson. 150 years ago, in the middle of the 19th century, about 1850s, there was an explosion of anti-biblical ideologies that spread like wildfire. Darwinism, socialism, secular liberalism, humanism. These ideologies have always existed, but they were suppressed by the influence and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at this time, all of the secular modern philosophers were born. Darwin, Rousseau, Marx, Hegel, Nietzsche, Voltaire, Sartre, Freud, Dewey. These secular philosophers, politicians, entertainers, artists, went out of their way to deliberately contradict the historic Christian worldview. And they immediately became popular with the world leaders in education and politics. And the only way to explain their attraction is 1 John 4. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That text of scripture for me becomes more and more an important commentary on this world. The other reason for this inexplicable attraction to these new ideas is what we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. God was no longer restraining. Now, these philosophies grew and became political movements and parties. And at the beginning of the 20th century, you have in Germany the Nazis, the National Socialists. In Italy, you have the fascists. In France, the socialists. In Russia, the Marxists. In America and Britain, the progressives. They all read the same philosophers. They all shared the same heroes. These new philosophies immediately had a political dimension. The apostasy is a political ideology. It's the worship of the state, which has been the principle behind all human empires from Babylon to Rome. Just as I have stated before, the greatest political statement ever made is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is building his kingdom. The Antichrist is making a contrary statement. Man is Lord, and man is also building his kingdom. The state is the arm of humanity. It is man on the throne. The goal of all these new philosophies was that the state could, through the force of power, create a pure race, a society of new men. Was that not originally the job of the gospel and the church? But these anti-Christian leaders did not want to change men the way God wants to change men, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. They did not want to use the institutions that God has ordained, the family, the church, the evangelist. And because of this, they were, and still are today, hostile to those institutions and toward individualism. As the French philosopher Rousseau taught, the community was divine. He stated that those who defy the collective spirit of the community live outside the state and have no claims on its protection. Indeed, not only is the state not required to defend antisocial individuals or subcommunities, it is compelled to do away with them. Well, this is the revival of the same spirit that brought persecution upon the early church. Christians were persecuted in Rome because they were called odium generis humani, haters of the human race, enemies of the state, enemies of the pagan culture. The apostasy, the Antichrist spirit, always persecutes the church. The religion of state worship can only be implemented if every trace of Christianity is eliminated. In the French Revolution, Christian holidays were replaced by pagan governmental celebrations. The Cathedral of Notre Dame was renamed the Temple of Reason. This all foreshadows what the Antichrist will do. And this is the beginning of the apostasy. In Daniel 7:25, it speaks about the Antichrist. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the High One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in laws, and they will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. But the point you should see is that this Antichrist spirit is anti-individual freedom, anti-religious liberty. Secular ideology is political, and it's totalitarian, and it's fascist. The result of all of these new secular philosophies was the totalitarian state. Dictators came on the scene implementing this new philosophy. In the revolution in France, Napoleon crowned himself the Holy Roman Emperor. Hitler, you had the Third Reich. And Mussolini became the dictator of Italy. In America, progressives like Woodrow Wilson and Roosevelt were teaching social Darwinism, that the government needed to evolve from simple to complex. The constitutional free enterprise form of government of early America was good while America was an agricultural society, but now with the Industrial Revolution as well as the information technology revolution, government needs to and can now become socialistic, totalitarian. The constitutional democracy as founded in our country was a temporary phase. The competitive life must be replaced with cooperation. Checks and balances in American government are an obstacle to progress. Individualism is bad. One must believe in the collective. Everything needs to be a part of the organic body politic. The state is the redeemer. In Italy, Mussolini's slogan was everything in the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state. Totalitarianism is a dirty word today. But before World War II, it was a beloved word used by leftist socialists. It did not mean a tyrannical society, but a society where everyone was taken care of totally by the community. Totalitarianism meant what socialism means today. But once the world saw the result of totalitarianism, the word came to mean something bad. And the left replaced the concept with words such as socialism or the New Deal. Thus, at the turn of the century, the divine redeemer state was born. Unbelievers looked to the state. It was a denial of the true gospel for a false good news. It was idolatry, the worship of the state. This all went by names such as the New Reich, the Brave New World, the New World Order, the building of new men, the Great Society, the complete regeneration of society. This was the beginning of the apostasy, the Antichrist spirit. For when the Antichrist arrives, the scripture describes his rule as totalitarian. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, we read, "They worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him?'" The imagery of the beast stands both for the Antichrist and his empire. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, we read that all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. You see the entire world giving worship and adoration and the authority to the beast. We read in Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 through 14, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful." In Revelation 17:17, we read, "For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdoms to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled." Then we also read in Revelation 13:15, "He causes as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name." All of these verses describe a totalitarian situation in which the state is exalted to the place of God. Now, we would all be living in a totalitarian world of Marx or Hitler or Mussolini if it wasn't for World War II. Christian America came along and defeated the power structures behind this new world order. But the philosophies still remain among many of the world leaders and in the universities. And they are still chipping away at Christian values, waiting to rise again. In looking at the rise of secular totalitarianism in the 20th century, one gets the sense that this was either Satan's failed attempt to bring in the Antichrist or some sort of dry run. Having failed, he has gone back to undermining the beliefs of the masses so that the next time he will succeed. Now, what does all this mean to you and I today? Well, the moral and political deterioration we see around us might be the beginning of the apostasy prophesied in the scriptures. Don't be discouraged by this. Don't think you need to picket or protest. God is still on the throne. Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The unsaved world organized against Christ and the unsaved world securing the powers of government for themselves will not destroy the true church or the work of evangelism. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "The gospel will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So it's nothing for us if God decides in the last days that he will allow the ungodly to show their true colors. Our security is not in this world. We can serve God just as well in this new stage of God's prophetic plan. But you need to personalize this event called the apostasy, because you might be having your own personal apostasy. The world's apostasy exists only because a lot of individuals have their own personal defection from the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you are part of this world system. You are of the world. You walk according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. I urge you to turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and become a citizen of his kingdom. The promise is this in 1 John 2, "The world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever." In our next program, I would like to continue this study, and we will look at the second event that ushers in the day of the Lord. That is, the coming of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. Until then, God bless you. Make an effort to become part of a solid Bible-teaching church. You can contact us at godandcountryradio.org. Our telephone number is 732-583-9286. We have a special offer on our website. On our site, you can subscribe to World Magazine. World is a Christian version of Time, Newsweek, U.S. News, and World Report. It has fantastic articles with great insights that you will not get anywhere else. If you really want to be informed, you should subscribe to World. Our special price is a bargain price for listeners to this program. Take advantage of the limited opportunity. Again, our contact information is godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are sovereign over the nations and that the times are in your hand. Strengthen your people in these last days as we endure the apostasy of men. May we reach many souls in these last days for your everlasting kingdom. Amen.